In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace of God our Father, love of the Lord Jesus, and comfort and consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we enter into these mysteries of God's love for us, let us acknowledge our brokenness, trusting in God's mercy and love. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who manifest your almighty power, above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us, and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet, even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our readings today are very practical, because how often in your daily life, whether at work or at home or in family, do we often find someone inviting us to do something? Anyone? Does your spouse or friend or neighbor ever ask you to do something? It's quite normal, isn't it? And so the Gospel is very predictable in a certain way. And sometimes when we are invited to do something, there is an immediate yes, and sometimes there's a little hesitation because you think about the request, and the request may take an amount of time you weren't really ready to share, or maybe you had some other plans, and then you begin to prioritize. Now, can I really help them, or not now? And you would go through that whole mental gymnastics of realizing what we are called to do. And very similarly in the Gospel story, the first son approached, says, like sometimes us, "Well, no, not really, I can't do it right now." And then later we think, well, that was kind of dumb, hello, I better do this. And so he does go and do and follow the request of the parent. But then the second son says yes and never goes. A little bit of dishonesty. Maybe he was having a bad day and he thought he could do it, and all of a sudden he realized he could not do it. Very possible, right? So let's not pass too much judgment on the second son. But critically, the message of Jesus is, this story is shared in the context of Jesus now being in Jerusalem. And in Jesus' encounter in Jerusalem, there are two primary leadership realities. One is the group of the chief priests that manage the temple, and then the Sanhedrin, who are the governmental leaders, so to speak, of the people of Israel. And he enters Jerusalem recognizing that these two bodies sometimes fight against each other. unlike our Congress, right? Hello, good morning. And so in the midst of that conflict, Jesus recognizes that conflict. That's why he probably chooses two sons in the parable, not big family, but two sons, because he's trying to make a point. If the chief priests guarding the temple have a change of heart to welcome sacrifice in the temple, that's a good thing. But if the Sanhedrin prohibits the message of God's love, which Jesus was bringing to the people of Israel in Jerusalem, then he holds the Sanhedrin as a second son, unwilling and unable to be open and to change their way, which then is riddled through the readings. In the first reading, and certainly the reading of St. Paul to the Philippians, there is this transformation of mercy that's taking place. We see in the first reading, what is God's desire? Not for people to remain stubborn, unwilling, unmerciful, mean, and unkind. That is not the will of God. It is God's desire that we change, that we do have an open heart, that it is guided by justice and mercy, because justice and mercy always go hand in hand. Hello? And so in that context is the message of the first reading, right? That God wants people to participate in change for good. And then certainly the profound message of Philippians, where the introduction talks about the behavior that Paul says, I've tried to be merciful, I've tried to be respectful, I've tried to be these qualities. So he speaks out of his own experience. And then he says, and the message of Jesus is that we empty ourselves. And by emptying ourselves of selfishness, of meanness, of thinking I'm better than someone else, of all those qualities that separate us, by emptying ourselves of those qualities, we then are filled with the love and the mercy of God. God is waiting to grace and to bless us. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Hello, good morning. God does not want anyone miserable, unhappy, or treated unjustly. And currently in our larger world, we see a lot of injustice taking place, a lot of language that is not respectful. And it bodes against my well-being. I don't want to participate in that because that's not who I am. And I know that's not who any of us are called to be. So we rise up with a voice of hope, with a voice of respect, and probably we fall on the opposite side of that spectrum of being even nicer, even more kind when we see people treated with disrespect. Because we are emptying ourselves of the harm of the world and we are being filled up with God's grace. I remember the other day, one of my colleagues in healthcare approached me and said their supervisor was driving them crazy. And so we explored what that meant, because I know their supervisor really well. And so in the conversation, they said, well, the supervisor doesn't give them space to do their work, is kind of a micromanager, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, in that difficulty, what have you shown about your ability? Well, I just get frustrated and walk away. Well, that's not the thing to do. I said, well, speak up. Share what you're doing. Help your supervisor to have a sense of maybe they don't need to micromanage you. Hello, right? And so last Monday, I ran into that colleague of mine, and they actually had a conversation with their supervisor. And their supervisor is still a little micromanaging. But when they shared with their supervisor what they were doing, the supervisor was surprised. We have a responsibility to share the word of God, to share the good work that we are doing, to illuminate the minds of others, not to be show-offs, right? Or to be people who think we're better than anyone else, but to enter into relationship is to share how God uses us. And that's evident in the good work and the love that we share. It's not about bragging, but it's about entering into those relationships of transparency and honesty. So my friends, as we gather in prayer today, let us reflect where we are. Let us examine how we are being called to be activators of God's grace, but let us also remember, what are we doing to let go? What are we releasing from ourselves when that person honks at us or someone says something that's not nice to us? How do we respond? In love, or do we mirror the meanness of the other? We are the graced people. We are called to empty, to be filled up. Amen. Let us pray. May this heavenly mystery, O Lord, restore us in mind and body, that we may be co-heirs in glory with Christ. To those suffering we are united whenever we proclaim his death, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Have a wonderful day. It's always a joy to pray with you. It's a little cool outside. Praise the Lord, so we can do more good things, right? There's no overheating. Have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Mass is ended. Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.